Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured himself out to death. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. About 6 weeks ago, I found myself in the basement of a college chapel on a Saturday afternoon. I was listening in as worship leaders instructed elders on how to serve communion. The elders needed instruction because this Saturday afternoon was the last day of a very large worship conference, and several hundred people were going to be in the college chapel awaiting communion. They were going to serve communion by the method of intinction, in which worshipers come forward and they tear a piece off the loaf, they dip it in the cup, and they partake. I was there because I was a backup server in case one of the elders didn't show. Thankfully, they were all there, so I could just stand in the back with my friend and colleague and listen in on the discussion. One of the worship coordinators said to the elders that when someone comes forward and they take a piece off the loaf, what you're to say to them is this: this is Christ's body, broken for you. And my colleague standing next to me bristled, and she said, not broken. She said, just Christ's body for you. And I was a bit convicted in that moment, since I have said, this is Christ's body broken for you, when I have offered the feast, and I have alluded to that in sermons. And so I very casually leaned into her and said, why can't we say broken? And she said, yeah, that's because of the prophecy. Not one of his bones will be broken. And I said, oh, yeah, like you. Oh. I said, so there's no like big theological reason why we can't say it? And she said, no, other than the Bible, there's no big theological reason why we can't say it. And as I sat in that worship service in the very second pew, and I watched worshiper after worshiper come forward and have the elders say to them, "This is Christ's body broken for you," I realized that although I align myself with Joyce's passion for Scripture, and although I know it's not in the Gospels, and although I know it's just a footnote in 1 Corinthians 11, there is something in me, and there is something in all of us, I think, that feels so exactly right when somebody says, "This is Christ's body broken for you." In the moment that Joyce said those things to me in the basement of the college chapel, I immediately had this vision, this memory of being in a pediatrics ICU room with a mom and a dad and a five-month-old girl who was laying in the bed in a coma. The heart attack that had landed her in that bed had killed her brain, and after 3 agonizing days, her parents had decided to remove life support. The mom asked if she could hold the child one last time, and the doctor said, "Of course," and they left the room, and the parents asked me if I would just stay a little bit longer. So I watched as this mother crawled into the bed with her daughter and attempted one last time to curve her body against her own. And as she attempted to do this, the limbs of the child just flopped around because there was no body, no life, no movement. Her bones were indeed whole, but she was so very broken. My friend and worship scholar Ron Reinstra said to me about this very exchange that I had with this colleague of mine. He said, "I wonder if in moments like that we're so concerned with the prophetic power of Scripture, with getting it just right, that we miss out on the descriptive and healing power of the Word, capital W. Because we are reminded in the Word, as we read from Isaiah 53, that our Lord Jesus Christ was broken. Not literally, no, but broken in all the ways that we are broken. Betrayed, abandoned. This was a man whose family thought he was crazy. This was a man who had lots of people come flocking to him when they thought that he was the one who was going to give them bread and they wanted to make him king. But when they realized that the going was going to be a little bit more tough than that, they all faded away. This was a man who was able to keep Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector in the same small group for at least 3 years, which was not a very easy feat. But when the end came, they fled with everybody else. And the one that he and they had trusted with the finances of the group betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus Christ took on flesh, and with it he got an up-close and personal introduction to the brokenness of the human race. Broken bodies were brought to him. People with broken spirits leaned in to hear him teach. But his time on earth wasn't just an observational course in humanity, not just a tour that took him around the tougher parts of town. Jesus' embodiment involved not only witnessing broken lives, but living one. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows the ache of abandonment. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows the pain of a broken heart. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to look into the face of death and weep. When the Word became flesh, he was not also given a Teflon coating so that the sticky messes of this world would slide right off him. On the contrary, he emptied himself of the idea that he was equal to God, emptied himself of that. He was vulnerable and he was exposed and he was human. Just like us. So when hurting people come forward to take a piece off the loaf, what we are saying to them when we say, "This is Christ's body broken for you," is the larger truth of the whole counsel of God, in which we are reminded that this one bore our transgressions, was wounded for our iniquities, was crushed for our sakes. This is the truth that we proclaim when we celebrate the feast and we tear a piece off the loaf. And as we, in this season of Lent, attempt once again to shake off those cloying sins, we realize that these are the things that killed him. These things of ours, our petty jealousies, our strutting pride, our not always so righteous indignation, our lustful fantasies, our internet transgressions, our accounting iniquities, our Lenten attempts to turn from these things and turn toward God makes us realize once again how far we have strayed from the path that God has laid out for us. We are not only passive recipients of the brokenness that this world dishes out, but we in our depravity are the ones who are agents of it. We break, we transgress, we bruise. We wound each other with our selfishness, whether it's over something as trivial as the remote control or something as weighty as the custody of a child. We transgress God's law by speeding and by stealing from our employers. We gossip and we are greedy. We crave that which we cannot have and refuse to be content with all that we have been given. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Son of God, whole and holy, entered into this world, and he is broken like we are broken, and he is broken by those who are broken. And in the grand miracle of grace, the sheep that have gone astray are saved through the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb comes, and he takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the sins that we have sourced and the sins that we have suffered. He takes them away, far away. Because this story of ours, this story of the church, this story of the world does not end in brokenness. In his death, Jesus Christ took my sins and he took your sins and he took the sins of the whole world and he said, no more. No more broken hearts, no more broken dreams, no more crushed spirits, no more. It's finished. This is finished. The sins that we suffer from, the sins that we commit, our whole inclination, no more, says Jesus Christ on the cross. This is finished. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was broken so that we can be made whole. And as we journey through the season of Lent, this is the big picture of the good news. That the deeper we go into an awareness of our sin, the more clearly we see how we have strayed away. The sooner we understand that we ourselves are not only broken, but we are the people we break, the sooner all of those things come to our full awareness, then we can understand once again how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus Christ. When we in our Lenten journeys realize once again how much we have gone astray, we are reminded in that same moment of the vastness of the mercy of God. When we grow frustrated with our Lenten disciplines and think that there is absolutely no hope that we will ever be the disciple of Jesus Christ that we long to be, we are reminded again of the untiring power of the Holy Spirit. For our God never tires of making us whole. Our God never wearies of carrying our infirmities. Our God never wants to shrug off our diseases. Our God moves in. He takes on. And he heals. We are broken and we break each other. We break the body of Jesus Christ and we break the heart of God. But Christ's body was broken for us so that we will be made whole to break the things that we mend, to mend the things that we break. This is what our God does. He puts everything right. And someday, our God has promised that this waiting time, this in-between time, this already and not yet, this crying out, this groaning for redemption, someday all of this will be over. For Jesus Christ will return. And as he has promised, then there will be no more sorrow or mourning or crying or pain, for all of those things will have passed away. And we will gather together with the saints in all times and places. And for the first time, and for the rest of time, we who make up the body of Christ will be made whole. This is the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, holy God, we are reminded of your love for us in Jesus Christ. Even in our grief over our sin, the sorrows that we have borne, our frustration with not being able to make it right, let these things turn us once again toward you and your vast mercy. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.